too. I better describe the recording method because it's very different from what people know today, and most people don't know about it. This is typical, for example, of the way the first Chicago jazz album, first jazz album ever got recorded. It was done with the recording being cut on a large wax cylinder, which looked like a big fat cheese. And the performance would be taken down on the top of this cheese, which revolved on a turntable, and it revolved in a very unusual way. Electric current was not so steady in those days, apart from the fact that, as many collectors know, old recordings sometimes were recorded at 78 and a fraction revolutions, or 79, maybe 77, but it was never exactly 78.6, or almost never exactly 78.6 in the old days. In fact, the standard one time, I understand, was something like 80, so that you hear music in the wrong keys. Even classic Armstrong records have been repitched, as researchers have done what I never did, which was to carefully check the key in which the reproduction sounds as you play the record. Now, I started to say that electric current was not relied upon for the speed of the turntable. So how did they do it? They had a pulley system in which revolving gears were governed by the slow descent of a large round stone that had a hole in the middle, and the rope, which... I know, it's funny. The rope, which was part of this pulley system, was passed through the center of the stone and then a big knot made on it. And so the engineer would pull on the system of ropes and get the big stone up near the ceiling. And when the time came to start a take in the control room, the producer would say, "All right, we'll go on two," which meant that when this studio clock had a second hand that kept going all the time, when it reached the two on the clock, that was when the musician should start playing.